Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
So here we go, Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Now listen to the words, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers and he hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay that only God can understand, while his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes, how he uses whom he chooses and with mighty acts induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. Think about it. We talk about the Christian life as being a walk where we have to learn to die to ourselves. Well, I'm an RN, and I can tell you this. When body parts die, it's painful. It's a painful process. When the surgeon has to go out and remove a dysfunctioning part of your body or something that's growing there that shouldn't be there, the result is a recovery time that's painful. Change is painful. But God knows change is necessary, so God will send change. And I love that He told them change is coming. This is what's about to happen. I'm changing Pharaoh's heart. He's coming to pursue you. He let him know that God is, he said, I'm sending him. Don't you wish God would let us know that change is coming? I'm telling you something. Guys, he's an unchanging God. And over in his word, he's let us know hard times are coming. So here we go, Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. That's pretty blunt right there. James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that these testing of your faith produces patience. 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have to be grieved by various trials. John 16:33, Jesus himself said, I speak these things that you might have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. You know what all those verses say? God is letting us know, just like he let the children of Israel know. Hard times are coming. Change is coming. The God that does not change has declared it. Now, there's one of two ways we can take that. We can say, boo! Boo on you, God, for drawing us into this. You didn't tell me all that when I got saved. It was all about forgiveness of sin and happy, happy, joy, joy. We got to start telling some folks the real story. You're entering a war when you step inside the king's army. This is a battle now. Praise God, the battle's won. But there's still some fighting to be done. There's still some ground to be annexed. There's an enemy out there that hates your guts and a world that hates you. Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you. So welcome to the game. You can't get in a fight and not expect to get hit from time to time. Difficult times are coming. So you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, boo, I don't like it. Or you can say, thank you, God, for making us aware, for having the love and the care for us to show me. See, I'm not those preachers that are trying to let you know that, hey, it's just all happiness and joy and roses. You send the right amount of money and you're happy and healthy and wise and everything's, you know, wonderful. That's a bunch of, you know, hey, in Hallsville we called it bunk. The Greek word is baloney. God that does not change has let us know. Hard times are coming. Okay, second thing is this. Look in verse 14, or chapter 14, look at verse 4 again. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. Here we go. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And the last of that verse says, and they did so. And what does that mean? They went on and camped down by the sea, knowing everything that God had just told them. What did he say? Go camp by the sea. I'm sending Pharaoh after you. He's going to pursue you. And here's why. I'm about to smoke them. I'm about to mow them down like a craftsman, honey. It's going down by the sea. And I'm, you know what? When you go hunting for rats, you need some cheese. And God said, I love you, my children. I'm about to use you as bait. And I'm just going to smoke those Egyptians. You hear that in that story right there? That's what he told them. Yes, you're going down there. Yes, the greatest army on the face of the earth is coming. And when they get there, I'm about to flex, and it ain't going to be pretty for Pharaoh. Hey, here's the second thing about an immutable God I want you to know. God's got a plan. How many of you 80s babies watch the A-Team? Hey, Hannibal Smith was a bad man. What did he always let them know? I love it when a plan comes together. God has a plan. God is going to send change. Listen, God is going to, he's sovereign now. He's in control of all of it. He is going to cause and or allow, if that just makes you more comfortable to say it that way, God's going to allow difficulty, hard times, struggles to come into your life. But hold your head up. Don't give up. God's got a plan. There are some goals that he's reaching toward right here. There's a finish line that he's already got in sight. And I don't know, hey, every time he don't give us all the details. Sometimes he offers a few things. He let them know Pharaoh's coming and I'm about to get him. But he didn't say nothing about the Red Sea part. He didn't give all the details, just a little bit. And sometimes he gives you a little bit, and sometimes he doesn't give you any, and sometimes it's all about faith all the time. But I can tell you two things that God's going to accomplish every time hard times come. And every time his plan comes together in your life, two things that will always happen. He will always glorify himself, and he will always sanctify you to be more like Christ. Every time hardship comes, he's always going to make his name greater and more glorious in this earth. He's always going to expand his kingdom, and he's always going to sanctify you a little bit more in every struggle you go through. So, God doesn't always give us all the details, but God has always promised that he has a plan. I think it's kind of interesting that he chose to tell them what the plan was, a little bit of it anyways, and somebody else saying, I wish God would tell me what the plan is for me. He ain't talked to me that way. He ain't told me nothing. Well, let me give you some promises that you must be missing then. Because he has shared some things with you. Maybe somebody needs to hear Isaiah 54:17 tonight. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of God, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors from those that love him. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Deuteronomy 28:17, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. Listen, they will come in one way and they will flee from you in seven. 2 Chronicles 20:15, I love this. This is what the Lord says to you, somebody that needs a little bit of a piece of the plan, what God's doing in your life. Listen, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, it is God's. Isaiah 41:9 and 10 says, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not cast you away. Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just a little part of the plan you may want to know about. He's the God that doesn't change. I'll say this. Either he's got the plan and he's still got the reins of control in his hand, and he's going to help you through this in your life, or he is the biggest farce and the biggest lie ever perpetrated on mankind. But I've read the book, and I've experienced him in my life. Honey, I don't think he's a lie. And I sure don't think he's a farce. He's nothing untrue in him. In fact, I can tell you, he is the God that never fails, he never loses, and he does not change. So God's going to send change. He's going to send difficulties, but he's always got a plan. He's always got a plan. Two things that will not change about him. So let's look at just a couple other things, and I'll be done. I want to look then at their reaction for a moment. Check out Exodus 14 and verse 10. Let's see what these people that God gave all this information to, gave them direct and specific instruction about what's about to happen. In verse 10 it says, then Pharaoh drew near. The children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, just like God said. Right? Here we go. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? These are the same people crying out to God for freedom just a little while before. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we can serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better to serve the Egyptians than die in this wilderness. How did they react? They freaked out. Bunch of crybaby jerks. Are you hearing this? God sends them Moses. God sends 10 supernatural plagues upon Egypt. God convinces Pharaoh to let him go. God tells them, go down by the sea. I'm sending Pharaoh, and I'm going to get him forever. And when he does it for them, just like he said, they flip out. And I think they missed an awful interesting opportunity. Because think about it. God had proven himself so many times. Somebody had to know he's going to do it again. Let me tell you one other reason why these folks are just crazy. Because if they would have looked right over there in the camp, there's a pillar of cloud so large that it is shielding the camp of 2 to 5 million people from the heat of the sun. It's the Shekinah glory of God. It's been with them ever since they left Egypt. At night, it turns into fire so bright that it lights up a camp of 2 to 5 million folks, guys. And it says it's been with you. Look at for chapter 13, the last two verses. It's been with them ever since. They ain't got to wonder, did God pack up and go on vacation? He's right there in a pillar so tall that you can't miss it. What a bunch of... They missed a chance, man. They should have been bold about this thing. I'm telling you, I know what I would have done. I would have pulled my lazy boy out my tent. and got me some popcorn and a Coke Zero because I got to see this. And I'd have sat down long enough till I couldn't take it no more, and then I probably would have got up and started going, Pharaoh, Nanny Boo Boo, come on down, come on. Come on down here and see what's going to happen. What a chance they missed to just make fun of them. Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Come on down. We got something for you. Come on. I love the story that my brother-in-law is a pastor at First Bikers Church in Texarkana. My wife's brother, Matthew. And he tells this story, I've heard him tell a couple times, about being in school, junior high or so, I don't know what age. And he's just sit right there. This is a great story now. And he's been getting bullied by this guy that's bigger, you know, I don't know, older. But, you know, obviously Matthew tells a story. He knows that this guy, he can't whoop him, Roger. But there's only so much a man can take. So after a while, he finally said, that's it. Meet me at the school. And they set up the place. It was like high noon, you know. Woo-wee-wee-woo. The bully steps out. Matthew psyched himself up. He's ready for this. He knows this is about to hurt. But he's got to do it. And so they come walking down the street. The bad guy's walking from this way. Matthew's walking this way. And he's thinking, oh, goodness, Lord, just make it get over quickly. He gets close enough that he can see the guy, and he's bowing up, and he's getting ready for whatever that guy's about to bring, and then all of a sudden, this look of fear, and his eyes opened up, and he turned, and he ran away. And Matthew was like, yeah. All right. That's what I thought. Then he bumped into his sister, was right there behind him going. And he did the right thing because that little woman hits hard. And Matthew tells that story. He said, man, if I had just known she was going to be there, I could have been walking out there like, come on, what you going to do? What you going to do? Boy, don't you know that confidence and boldness changes when you know the one behind you can't be defeated. Remember the story of Elijah up on Mount Carmel with all those prophets of Baal? And they're working for hours. They're jumping and dancing and cutting themselves and chanting and trying to get their little G God to do anything. And what's Elijah doing? He's over there hanging out going, hey, holler louder. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he went on vacation. I love the part where he's like, hey, I know what. He's probably on the toilet. That's in there. He really says that. Go read it. You know why he was able to be that way? Because he knew the God that doesn't fail and doesn't change. He knew that God had a plan. And that God was going to take care of his name in the eyes of the people. You know, I'm not saying that we become cocky jerks. But we ought to have boldness in the knowledge we have of our Father. We ought to have that. We ought to know that the Word says it, and I've experienced it over and over. And so the next time the winds of change blow in, and I look up at the horizon, and Pharaoh crests the horizon with his chariots, I ought to know, God, you must be up to something, because that's way yonder bigger than what I can handle. I just can't wait to see what you're going to do today. Come on, Pharaoh. Come on down. Come on down in the valley. Let's see what God can do. Their reaction was they freaked out. God's reaction was deliverance. I want to close with this. Our concept of deliverance and God's concept of deliverance usually are very different. I want to give you three D words real quickly to help you understand God's deliverance in your life, and we're going to be done. Number one, definition. Our definition of deliverance and God's definition of deliverance is often very different. See, we define deliverance this way. I want to be removed from the problem. Remove me from the pain. Paul prays, you know, multiple times, God, remove this thorn from me. Get me out. Our definition, remove me from. Here's God's definition of deliverance. Removal through the pain. So many times, God's choice for you and me is not to pluck us out of the fire, but to walk us through it. And it's kind of like giving birth, really. There's two ways you can do it. A C-section or naturally, right? C-section is removal from. The natural is removal through. And all doctors will tell you what's best for the child and best for the mother is through. It is the most painful, right, in the moment. But it is the most effective. Removal through. The second word is this, direction. Our direction for deliverance and God's direction for deliverance, often very different. We want deliverance to occur in reverse. Now, let me tell you what that means. What we want God to do when we say, get me out, what we mean is, God, move me back to the time before this problem came. I want you to get me back to when I didn't have the disease. Get me back to the time before the relationship fell apart. Get me back to the time before I fell back into the addiction. I want to, what it really is we don't want deliverance, we want recovery. I want to be recovered back to another time. God's deliverance is never backwards. It's always forwards. I can prove that to you with this one verse right here in verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children, move forward. He ain't parted the waters yet. Where was forward? The Red Sea. Tell them, walk that way. If we walk that way, we're going to drown. My deliverance moves you forward. Move forward. Wes and I have been enjoying a story in John chapter 9 this week. Jesus walks out of the temple. There's a blind man, blind from birth. He reaches down, gets some dirt in his hands. Remember this? Spits in it, makes clay, rubs it on the man's eyes. Instantly, he's healed from blindness, right? No, that's not what it says. He cakes his eyes up with spit mud. And then he tells the guy what? Go now to the pool of Siloam and wash it off. You know what I found out this week? I didn't know this. Gayla, you're going to love this. The pool of Siloam was over a half mile away from the temple. Down a thoroughfare that for the most part was downhill. The most busy, trafficked area of commerce through old Jerusalem was this street. This dude is blind. And Jesus said, now go, that means move forward. Don't you know he fell down a few times before he could get over a half a mile away from where the mud hit his eyes? Don't you know that it was not an easy trip as he was struggling and trying to be obedient to the commands? Move forward. What made him keep moving forward? Because he knew that the healing I'm looking for is in the water and I gotta get to where it is. Your deliverance from the problem that you're in right now is in moving forward. Last D word, and I'm done. Design. God's definition, God's direction, God's design for deliverance is often very different than ours. Between 2 and 5 million people began praying when they saw Pharaoh and the army come into view. Don't you know it? A lot of folks started praying. And you know how I pray for deliverance. God, your will be done, and let me tell you what your will is. Whatever you want, Lord, let me tell you what's best. 2 million, 3 million folks began to pray and tell God, we need out, and here's what I want. And a lot of them said, take me back to Egypt. Give me back to what I know. Get me out of this. There was many a prayer going up that day. I guarantee you, didn't nobody look up at heaven and say, God, here's what you ought to do. Put your big cloud in front of the Egyptians so they can't get to us. Blow hard on this water. Stand it up in two pieces. Hey, it's about 900 feet deep here and about 13 miles across. But God, if you blow real hard, you can dry the land out so that millions of us can walk across and all of our livestock and all of our carts, and we can all get across. And Lord, then move your cloud and let them come after us. And when the last one gets in, before the first one gets out, crash all the water down on top of them, and we'll be fine after that. Nobody prayed that prayer. You know what? God's design for your deliverance is probably not going to be in the way you're praying for it. You know why? Because if my telling God what to do is what he decided to do, then I'd be walking around saying, hey, I'm free from the old stuff, and let me tell you how God and I did it. And he don't share his glory with no man. I love Ephesians 3:20. The God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or even think. He's got a plan. He's going to move you forward. He's going to glorify his name. He's going to expand your territory as a believer, and he's going to do it in a way you never saw coming, so that when you're standing on the other side and the Egyptians that have been hassling you for all this time die in the depths of the sea, you ain't going to be able to do nothing but have a worship service and thank the God who never loses and who never changes. Annie Johnston Flint wrote it this way. He said, she said, he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. Guys, come on back up. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed ere the day is half done, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite wisdom and love in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and he giveth again. Johnny, I want to do, sometimes it takes a mountain. Stand to your feet.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.